Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Once again, yes, indeed, you are truly indeed tuned to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show on Saturday night, October the 13th, 2018. I am Executive Director and Host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. As usual, I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he's getting ready to conclude part two of his message titled EWS. This is part two of the message from tonight, from Thursday night's show. He's doing part two tonight. So I pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along with him as he goes through God's word together on tonight and share God's word with us. So right now, we're going to go into prayer. I'm asking our listeners, if you would please go into prayer with me at this time, because we serve an awesome God. He is so awesome that he can hear all of our prayers at the same time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. We come in his name, giving you glory, honor, and praise. We come thanking you for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. We bless your name on today because you are truly worthy to be praised. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, no matter what we're going through, you are truly worthy to be praised at all times. So we just come on tonight in a corporate body of believers, giving you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will move by your Spirit over the airways on tonight, that your word will go forth with power through the person of Deacon Marvin Cox, your servant. It's our prayer, Lord, that your word will be received and loved on tonight. And it's our prayer that should there be any listeners on the line or over the internet that's listening tonight to this word, to your word, Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that something will be said to the point that they will be able to, your word will prick the hearts of every unbeliever on tonight. They too will be able to open their mouth after being convicted by your word, not Deacon Marvin Cox's word, not my word, but by your word. They will be convicted on tonight. And after that, they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts and save them. And after they are saved in his name on tonight, they will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their God purposes in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you are moved by your Spirit, touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Heavenly Father, we know that you are the doctor that has never lost a patient. So we know that you promised in your word that you would not put no more on us than we're able to bear. So we know also in your word that you said we can cast all of our cares upon you because we know that you care for us. And Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we also come lifting up all those that are bowed down in sorrow, their heads are bowed in sorrow because they have lost a loved one on today or even over this week. We pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit to the point that they will be reminded that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you would just continue to have your way in us as we continue to move forward and do what you have called for each one of us to do individually and then as a corporate body of believers, that we will always be compelled to go out into the hedges and the highways and, as we call it today, into the streets and to do battle in the streets with street ministry because so many people are still spiritually blind. And we who are saved in Jesus' name, we have a word from you, Lord, a command from you to go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ so that others that are still spiritually blind would have a chance to be saved in Jesus' name. So we ask that you would help us that we can be about our Heavenly Father's business, doing what you have called for us to do in the earth so that our labor for you here on earth will not be in vain, but that you will be glorified through it all is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we also come lifting up our president, and not only President Trump, but all world leaders all over the land, Heavenly Father. We come as a corporate body of believers touching and agreeing that you would move by your spirit over their lives, Heavenly Father, and if any of them are not saved, that you too would send a vessel their way to speak a word into their lives, that they too would be able to repent and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts so that they too would be saved and they too would come to know their God purpose and that they would also, after being saved in Jesus' name, that they would also have the love and compassion of your Son, Jesus Christ, and do what's right for all people all over the land, that you will be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us as we move forward in this program on tonight, that you will be glorified even more is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said amen. Well, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, jacked up situations are prime ground for miracles. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Jacked up situations are prime ground for miracles. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants, ambassadors, vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. And I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And while we're talking, I would like to remind the listeners that I personally do not know who you are. I do not know where you are. But again, we serve an awesome God. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you stand in need of. And I just want the worldwide listeners to know that I, the host of this internet radio show, I pray for you, and I ask the Lord to continue to give you and grant you the desires of your heart. As long as you continue to be faithful and committed and humble unto the Lord and do what he has called for you to do in the earth, that he will be glorified through you and your life. So that's why I continue to pray for you, that we will all fulfill our God purposes individually, then as a corporate body of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. In the form of announcement, I only have one announcement for tonight, and that announcement is the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church is hosting a fall revival, which will be starting on October the 16th through October the 18th, 7 p.m. nightly. And our guest pastor for this revival is Pastor Maurice Jackson, and he is from Columbus, Ohio. Again, our guest minister for this fall revival is Pastor Maurice Jackson from Columbus, Ohio. Our church address is 1330 Crane Street. That's near Agnes, one block north of East Jefferson. Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor and shepherd. So all are welcome to attend this fall revival. Again, it's going to be held October the 16th through the 18th at Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, 7 p.m. nightly. Again, our address for the church is 1330 Crane Street, right at the corner of Agnes, one block north of East Jefferson. Again, all are welcome to attend and be blessed by God's word. Well, right now we're going to go to our music break before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox. And listeners, I do pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready, because Deacon Marvin Cox is going to conclude with part two of his message entitled EWS. He's going to do part two on tonight. So we want you to have your Bibles and pens and paper so that you can follow along with him as we get ready to go through this word to receive part two of this awesome message on tonight. But we're going to go to our music break first, and I pray that you be blessed by this musical selection. And then once we finish with the musical selection, Deacon Marvin Cox is going to come. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem. And following that poem, he's going to go directly into God's word. So right now, we're going to enjoy this music break, and we're just going to give God glory, honor, and praise. Why? Because he is worthy to be praised. Tonight's musical selection is titled Total Praise. Enjoy the musical selection.
Oh,
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Total praise. God deserves our total praise. Again, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, no matter what we're going through it all, through our trials, our tests, our tribulations, God is still worthy to be praised. But right now, again, I pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox as he concludes with part two of this message titled EWS. And I'm sure he's going to do a little revision from part one before he starts with part two so you can kind of catch up on what we left off from this past Thursday night show. So right now, I'm so proud to present to the listeners once again, Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with you another inspirational poem. Then he's going to conclude with part two of this message titled EWS. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, Brother Brown. Once again, it's an extreme pleasure to bring forth. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be one of God's on this evening, one of his hand-chosen people to bring forth the word. And I pray that what God has given me to give to you will be a benefit unto you as well as myself. I pray that I move myself out of the way and let God's word resonate with each and every last one of us. Because the word, it always go to the messenger first. Now, the poem for tonight is Sometime. And I'm more than sure that every Christian that I know, everybody that's lifting up the name of the Lord can identify with this poem. Say, sometime when you're healing, you still can feel pain. Sometimes when the sun shines, there still can be rain. Sometimes when you're confident, you continue to have fear. When happiness embraces you, you still can shed a tear. Sometimes you may fail when you did your very best. Sometimes your soul can get weary and cry out for rest. Sometimes you may be accused when you've done nothing wrong. Some places you may go where you feel that you don't belong. Sometimes your innermost thoughts you may express out loud. Sometimes you may be lonely in the midst of the crowd. Sometimes the people you love, they just don't understand. And when you need help, they won't even lend you a hand. Sometimes you may know the way and still get lost. Sometimes the price is too high and you can't pay the cost. Sometimes trouble may come, and it may come without warning. It may come in the middle of the night or early in the morning. Sometimes we may not know how to cope. Sometimes we may even lose our hope. When these things happen, we may not know what to do. Just remember, the Lord is always, not sometimes, the Lord is always waiting on you. Amen. I'm going to go directly into tonight's lesson, and it's a continuation, as Brother Brown said, of the lesson that the Lord gave me to give to you this past Thursday. And EWS, which is strictly means an early warning system. I'll be reading to you out of the King James Version of the Bible from Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, 17 verse through 19 verse, and I have other periodicals that I will be reading out of. And it reads Ezekiel 3 and 17. It reads, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word in my mouth, and give them warning for me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, thou speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. I just read it to you from the book of Ezekiel, 3rd chapter, verses 17 through 19. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Now, as Brother Brown indicated to you, the lesson tonight is EWS, which is early warning signals or early warning system, early warning signs, which we know that in God's word, see, he instructed Ezekiel at this time that the words from his mouth, he was charging him that the words from his mouth, he wanted him to say to his people so that they may not perish. Now, we know to warn someone is to give them advance notification that some type of danger is just ahead. And in that time that we have to contemplate, we ask ourselves, have I prepared? So that's the subtopic for today, early warning signals. Have you made the proper preparations? Because God loves us to the extent that he don't want us not to be saved. But it's a personal responsibility that each and every last one of us have to work out our own salvation. As I said to you this past Thursday, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and all of these people that we come in contact with, they blow the trumpet. They give us, from the time we're born, we are told, don't do this, don't do that, leave this alone, stay away from that, and so forth and on. And so all of these people that I just stated, even our friends, even strangers, will tell us and to warn us. And if God has commissioned his people, his leaders, to come through our churches and synagogues and mosques and temples and whatever your place of worship go by the name of, we must know that that preacher or that teacher or that minister or that rabbi or that priest or whoever is that deacon, that lay member, whoever is bringing forth the word at that particular time is bringing forth a warning that would be beneficial unto our souls. Now, those warnings are for one particular reason, and that is to protect us. That is to keep us from hurt, harm, and danger, as we say numerous times in our testimony. Lord, thank you for keeping me from all hurt, harm, and danger. It's a warning that is closely followed, if we're not careful, by danger or by destruction. And we must be mindful that even though it might not necessarily be instantaneous, most warnings come with that opportunity, that time span in between the warning and the actual danger. It gives us time to get out of harm's way. When we go to every Halloween, which is coming up soon, they tell you to change the batteries in your smoke detector. They tell you to do this so that that early warning system that we have will keep us from being burnt or perish in the fire. Now, I want you to take that analogy and use it as far as the early warning that is coming from your preacher, from your spiritual leader. Every Sunday, he brings about a message which is a smoke detector, which is letting you know that there is fire and possibly brimstone just a coming, but it gives you ample enough time, even if the building is burning, for you to get out of that particular building, even if your soul is being singed to get away from that danger. So we're going to just look at that preacher, that spiritual leader tonight, as being a smoke detector. That's an early warning system, because it's letting you know that the fire hasn't started, or the fire is about to start, or the fire is just about ready to reach you. So our leaders have been given those instructions, but see, it's not limited. It's not limited to our spiritual leaders. When we're traveling on the highways and the byways of life, there are many numerous signs that we see on the side of the road that's letting us know in advance about danger that is just on that road. Whatever road you on, there's going to be some trouble. Now, one even on the road of repentance, every now and then there will be some type of distraction on that road that's going to prevent you from doing what it is that you need to do in the name of the Lord. Now, I have compiled several verses that will coincide with what the Lord has given me to give to you. I'm going to go over here to Jonah, the third chapter and the fourth verse. And this was after Jonah was commissioned to go to Nineveh and warn the people of the wrath of God that would follow if they didn't straighten out their wicked ways. See, Jonah began to go to the city, going a day's journey. This was after he was coughed up out of the belly of the big fish, or some people say the whale, but we're going to say out of the belly of the big fish. And so he began to go. This is when Jonah had turned his life around, where he had went in the opposite direction that God wanted him to go, and God recommissioned him to go and do what it was that he had to do. It said, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, God was generous at that time. He said that he would destroy Nineveh if the people did not repent. But Jonah said that God had given them 40 days to correct their wicked ways, to repent. Now, 40 days might not seem like a long amount of time, and someone has come with only a few seconds to spare. But God, in his divine mercy, will give us time to do whatever it is that we need to do. And his word says, I gave them ample enough time to repent, but they repented not. We got to pay attention to these warnings. We have to go to the house of Israel. We have to forsake not to assemble yourselves in the house of prayer. God's word is just letting each and every last one of us know that a TV ministry is all right. You know, when you're sick and shut in, it's all right to tune in to the word of God. But God is letting us know that he's first coming back for a church without what? A spot or a blemish. Didn't say that he's coming to your house. Didn't say he's coming to your job. Say he's coming back for the church. So we have to be careful of this warning that we in the right place at the right time. Now Acts 2nd chapter 38 verse says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter is warning the people at this time that the only way that they can receive the gift of life, and that's a warning, repent and be baptized. He didn't leave nobody out. He said, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. So this is a two-ply situation. You got to repent, and in turn, and do it from your heart and mean it. And in turn, the Lord will forgive you. Okay, now we're going to go and see. Tonight we're going to talk about some things that are unpleasant and things that people really do not like to discuss. But the Bible discusses and brings forth all issues of life. So we're going to move expeditiously along, and we're going to talk about another warning by John the Revelator in Revelations 20th chapter 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done or the deeds in their body. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So this right here is another warning that we must do everything we can to prevent ourselves from being thrown into the lake of fire. We must make preparations for this early warning system that we've been going through, which we have been hearing, but are we paying any attention to it? Are we heeding to this early warning system? Are we in the right frame of mind that this warning, we take it to heart? Do we feel, are we so foolish to imagine that we got more time than what we got? Now I'm going to move expeditiously along over here to Mark, the 13th chapter, the 19th verse. It said, but be on your guard, for they will deliver you to consuls, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. Now, we know that a lot of us have come home from church service and really felt at that time, because of God's word, that we've been mistreated, that we've been beaten up by God's word, that somebody didn't like the way the color of our suit, so we became offended. So we're going to be offended. And this is a must-do thing. It's not something that we can avoid. So this early warning system is in full effect. Now, Revelation 18:4 said, then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. Now, this is talking about that harlot, talking about those who frequent that harlot, talking about a sin that was very, very popular not many years ago. And that is, if you lay down with dogs, you'll wake up with fleas. So when you partake, or when an individual partake of these things, then we become susceptible. Have you ever been around an individual who had a cold, or had an ailment, and the next thing you know, that same cold or that same ailment that they had, they passed it on to you? So this is a warning that some things we must disassociate ourselves from. Now, there are early warning signs to so many things. There's early warning signs to heart disease. There's early warning signs to stomach problems. There's early warning signs to lung disease. Your body, 9 times out of 10, will tell you before something goes wrong that something is about to go wrong, before things get really blown out of proportion. And our body is designed by God to let us know that we need to go to that physician. We need to go to that individual that could provide us with the help. When our finances, when we don't have enough money to last to the end of the month, but then we look around and we toting around a $1,000 IMAX phone. Something is wrong with that picture. We can't seem to think why we can't rub two nickels together. Then we go to the finance counselor, and he tells us that we have to trim down on some of our extravagance, just like the prodigal son did. He went out there, and according to the Bible, he was living large. So we have to be mindful of being able to notice these early warning signs. Now, later on in the presentation, we're going to talk about two things. Because, see, one thing about the Lord, he's so good and he's so fair that he would not tell you about these things if he didn't give you a solution on how to solve these things. A lot of times we may talk about something, but then we'd be just as baffled after we discussed it because the individual that brought forth that word did not give us a solution to what the problem was. It didn't tell us how to map out an escape route to the extent that whatever it was, whatever early warning sign it was, that we would be able to navigate our way around that particular barricade, jump over that particular hurdle, get out of the way of that oncoming danger. And that remedy, that antidote, is to turn your life over to the Lord, to trust, to stop doing, you know, say, my people who are called by my name, to humble themselves and turn from the wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. That's a warning that if we keep going, or some people keep going in the direction that they are going in, they will be beyond help. Now, why would I say beyond help? Because God could reach anybody, but not just effort to turn. And that's something that you're not going to be forced to do. It's got to be something that you want to do. So the warning has been put out there. We have to be able to navigate our way. We have to be able to think our way. We have to be able to pray our way away from these things that could be hazardous to us, these things that could be a danger to us, these things that could cost us our life. Now, in Luke 11:52, I'm reading from ESV, it says, "Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering." Now, this is a warning that some people, they got access, and they don't want you to have access. They say, you got the key, and each and every last one of us have the key. But over there in Psalms, I think it's the sixth number of Psalms, where it says, woe unto them who sit in the seat or standeth in the way. Might be number one psalm. That stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. So we have to be extra careful if we are blocking the way of those who truly are trying to make a difference in their life. Am I being a hindrance unto brother or my sister or my son or my daughter or my grandchildren by uplifting the name of the Lord, by not practicing what it is that I'm saying? Because, see, in a proverb that says, parents don't provoke your children to anger. See, that brings about a confusion when you tell them to do one thing, but you do another. Or you do one thing, and you tell them not to do that. If you don't want your children to do something, don't do it in front of them, because their minds and their hearts is a duplicate copy. They want to do everything that they say you do. Why? Because they look up to you. So we have to be able to warn them. And the best way to warn them is to live a righteous life before them. Now I'm going to go over here to 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, the 10th, 11th verse. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others," excuse me, "but what we are in, known to God, and I hope it is also known to your conscience." See, word tonight is telling us that we can't hide away from God. We can't conceal those things that is in our heart nor our mind. So we have to go forward with a clear conscience. We have to do these things in a way in which God shall get the glory and honor of what we say and do. Now, Matthew 3 and 7. "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" See, that was a question being asked. And sometimes we bring forth a warning that's not, people don't take it as a warning. They take it as a put down. They take it that you're trying to mind and you're trying to tend their business. But that's not how God's word operates. And so, Hosea 9 and 14, it said, "Give them, O Lord, what will you give?" That's a question. Say, "Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast." Well, this is because of disobedience. This is because we have not done or lived up to the expectation that God is pleased with. Jude 1 and 16, "And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he was kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day." Now, what is that saying to me? Just saying, hold my ground, stay in my position, don't come out of character. Saying the same thing to you, because over there in Daniel, when they wanted Daniel to compromise and wanted him to bow down, even if you don't mean it, there is no compromise when it comes down to the Lord. We try to work our way out of situations by being disobedient and then turn around and saying, "Well, you know, God knows my heart." Now, that's true. God knows your heart, and if it's dirty and if it's filthy and if it's unclean, he knows that too. But tonight, I'm going to shift gears right fast, and we're going to go over here to two things that the early warning system can help you out with a lot. And one of those things is to look for. And one of those things is addiction, and the other one is infidelity. And see, we have to, as I told you earlier, sometimes we talk about things, the Lord give us things that is unpleasant for the ears of people. But through the heart flows all issues of life. And each and every last one of these situations, they had drunkards in the Bible. They had people who were unfaithful in the Bible. And in so doing these things, and in them practicing these things. Look at not only Nineveh, but look at Sodom and Gomorrah, how they were looking for the first decree that went out, that if you can find 50 righteous people, if you can find, then it kept on going down. And then it was modified and changed and said, if you can find 10 people with a desire to do what is right. But then it just whittled on down to Lot and his family. And Lot's wife early warned his sister, say, hey, you got to leave that behind. You got to keep on moving forward. So the warning was brought forth, don't look back. Keep on walking, don't look back. But when these things are violated, then it's a consequence, which I mean to tell you earlier, it's a consequence for not paying attention to the early warning signs. Even our bill collectors have enough love in our heart to give us a due date on our bills, on our telephone bills, on our electric bills, and on our car notes and everything. Even sometimes kind enough to give us a grace period. And in the process of them giving us a grace period, they give us deadline after deadline. We call them and we say, you know, I'm having a little difficulties right now, and, you know, I want to keep and stay in good standing with you. So could you be lenient? At least show mercy. And even with the house note, they will bring forth what is known as a forbearance agreement. So if we don't make preparations, just like with God, we must make preparations. Just like we call that bill collector and not try to avoid him and say, I can't pay what I was really obligated to pay, but would you accept a partial payment? Would you be willing to work with me? And just how merciful to God is willing to work with you. But first of all, we must be able to say unto him, Lord, I know I'm short. We got to admit to him, after all the early warning signs that we received, that we're not capable, and he's willing to help. But if we constantly keep on doing these things and not paying any attention to the warning signs, we know that that woe is coming. We know that that woe is coming in such a way. We know that woe means certain doom. It's something that cannot be avoided. So with our addictions, and if we go over here to Exodus, where the Ten Commandments are located at, God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or anything. He lets us know that we're not supposed to, because he's jealous. He lets us know that we can't have these things. We can't serve two masters. And so an addiction is no more than something that controls us. It might start off as something that we enjoy. It might start off as something that is harmless. But danger is something, a warning is letting you know in advance of something that is harmful. So with the addictions and with the infidelity and all of that is wrapped up into Exodus, where God's word is saying, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So he's letting us know that now is not the time to be unfaithful. Now is not the time to let other things. But see, these things, whether we know it or not, have that ability to sneak up on us. to go undetected, for us to be involved in those things and involved in such a way that we're not really aware, because why? We are following the instinct. We're following the dictation of the flesh. And in following the dictation of the flesh wants us to compromise. The flesh is constantly demanding that we please it, that we satisfy it, that we make it feel good. But sometimes we have to go through a little dilemma in order to realize who God is. I mean, if I didn't ever have no pain, I wouldn't know what it's like to be pain-free. I wouldn't know what it was like to have the relief that being pain-free brings. So I was going to talk about the signs of infidelity, and I also was going to talk about the signs of addiction, but time will not permit me to do it this night. But I'm just saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, pay attention to the early warning signs. Take heed to these things. Prepare yourself for the danger to come. We might think that it's not coming, but it's on the way. Noah preached for a long time about it was going to rain. They paid him no mind. And then when the rain finally came, it was too late. Don't let nothing we do, the Lord say, it's too late, or I gave them an ample enough time to repent, because the clock is running. The early warning signs, you could have that red light on in your car for so long. The ones that say check engine, the ones that says change your oil, ones that say your tires need to be inflated. And we do that because we are procrastinators. We do that on a regular basis. We do that on a frequent basis. That's why these early warning systems, and now they even have with your appliances and everything, they let you know low battery. They let you know change the fuse. On my air conditioner, they said change the filter on your air conditioner. So I'm just saying to myself that all of these early warning systems that are put in place by man, preacher, watchman, you give warning. And give the warning whether people want to receive that warning or not. Because whether we know it or not, your life, my life, our life, depends upon how firm we are. Don't let it slide. Don't favoritize foolishness. Because see, this early warning system, as I told you earlier, is put in place to protect each and every last one of us. So take heed. It's up to you. It's your choice whether you want to take heed to the warning. Because see, these warnings come before destruction. They just let you know that impending doom is just right around the corner. You got the ability, you got the power to keep it from coming and overtaking you. I thank the Lord for allowing me these few minutes to bring you his word to warn you to come. And I just thank God that for the privilege of your time. And I thank you. Amen. Now I'll turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, we thank you for sharing with us the early warning signs, part two. And I pray that every listener has received this word on tonight. Because also I'm going to kind of piggyback off of what you just said regarding the early warning signs. The word of God talks about work while it's day. And the daytime represents life. While we have life in our bodies, while the blood is running warm in our veins, that's why we are to work for the Lord while it is day. Because guess what? The word of God also tells us that the night is coming, and the nighttime represents death. You cannot work for the Lord. I cannot work for the Lord when we are dead, when our bodies have breathed his last breath, and the blood is no longer warm in our veins, and we have died in the flesh. That means that we cannot work for the Lord. So that's why we must work for the Lord while we have time, because the early warning sign is that Jesus Christ is coming back again, and he's coming back for his church. Those that are followers of Jesus Christ, those that are lovers of Jesus Christ, those that are being faithful, committed, humble doers of God's word, those are the individuals that Jesus Christ is coming back for. So while we have time, while the blood is running warm in our veins, for you, listener, who may not be saved in Jesus' name, this is an early warning sign for you. Even tonight, you can give your life to Jesus Christ, because tomorrow is not promised to either one of us. And that's the old phrase. But we are living in a time now that the next second is not promised. We don't know if we're going to be here the next second or not. Only God knows that. So don't take a gamble with your life, with your spiritual life, with your soul salvation. Don't take a gamble like some people do with Russian roulette. They take the gun and they put one bullet in it and they spin it around and put it to their head and they pull the trigger and the bullet don't come out and they keep doing it. But eventually, if you keep doing it, guess what? That one bullet is going to come out of that chamber. So God has given us his word. He's already given us his son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sin on the cross and paid our sin debt with his own blood, a debt that he did not owe. But he knew that it was a debt that we could not pay. So I'm too glad for Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that he loved God the Father first, and then he loved you and I so much that he gave his own life in our place, that we can have a right to the tree of life, that we can have an eternal home in glory after we have left this earthly body through death. Or if Jesus Christ come back first, he said the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those that remain are going to be caught up in the air. You're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So don't gamble with your soul. Give your life to Jesus Christ. The early warning signs is through the word of God. And if you don't know the word, you need to get in the word of God so he can direct you and lead and guide you so that you can know and see what the early warning signs are, because there are many. And when we see these different things that's going on earth, happening now, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the hurricanes, the floods, and the wildfires, and the hate and the jealousy and the envy and the bullying that's going on, and wickedness in high places, when we see these things going on, don't be alarmed. The word of God already told us that these things were going to happen. So those were early warning signs, too, for the Christians to let us know that these things are going to happen. So we who are saved in Jesus' name, we are so involved in Jesus Christ, so entangled up in Jesus, that we can see the early warning signs through his word. So I pray that you have received the word on tonight. I know this was an awesome word, and we thank God for Dick and Marvin Cox for sharing this awesome word on tonight. Early warning signals, early warning signs. So we need to know what they are, and the word of God always lets us know where they are so we can avoid the dangers that are up ahead that only God can see, the outcome that we cannot see. So thank God for who he is. We serve an awesome God who loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves even the sinner that is not yet saved in Jesus' name. So I pray that you have received this word on tonight, and especially for those that are still spiritually dying and that have not accepted Jesus Christ, that's an early warning sign for you. Even after tonight's word, you have a chance to be saved even on tonight. So don't want to become saved on tonight in Jesus' name, that the Lord can fulfill his glory and his work through you, that your God fulfilled purpose will be fulfilled in this life, in this earth, for God's glory through you, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So we pray that you receive this word on tonight. It was an awesome word. Thank you, Deacon Marvin Cox. We're going to close out tonight's program with prayer, as we always do. I'm asking all listeners, please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, as our Heavenly Father, as once again we come in the name of Jesus Christ, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. You are so worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the early warning signs that you give us through your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Deacon Marvin Cox, who has expounded on your word on tonight. It's our prayer that your word has been received in love, that those that are not saved in Jesus' name on tonight will be able to see and hear, have heard the early warning signs through your word, to be able to confess and open their mouth and give their life to Jesus Christ on tonight, that they will be saved in his name. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you are in total control at all times. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us in spite of ourselves. So we pray, Lord, now that you will move by your Spirit on tomorrow in every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name all over the land. Move by your Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would anoint every vessel that's going to stand on your word and deliver your word on tomorrow, that they will deliver it with power to the point that many souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow, and that you will be glorified even the more, and that the enemy will be even more horrified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. We just bless your name on tonight because we know that through it all, you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, that's the word for tonight. I pray that you find yourself in the house of worship on tomorrow, giving God glory, honor, and praise. Why? Because he is truly worthy to be praised. So we're going to close out tonight, and I bless the Lord, and I pray that you continue to bless the Lord. As the song said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, because he is worthy to be praised. Until the next time, continue to give God praise and give him glory and honor, because he's worthy to be praised. That's the program for tonight. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that I love you. God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night. Thank you.